talk to other people. You didn't just talk to all of the people who are your age. So I really think that this has helped me, like Holden coming up to Holden House helped me be an adult, and then it has helped me sort of take that experience out to other high schoolers. And I teach high school, and an alternative high school, and I wish so many times that I could get some of my high schoolers up here for boarding school. They would just benefit so much from it. But really, the way that it helped me become an adult is I really got a global sort of education, you know, this social justice and environmentalism sort of this thing that had been a part of my life because we came up here for vacation, and my parents, of course, are affected by Holden in the same way. So that was sort of a focus of our family. And I sort of got attuned to that, and I just brought a collection of books, and one is The Last Guardian of Sunlight. Have not read it, you absolutely must read it. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, and it's Tom Harmon, and you can look at the book when it's up here, but it is marked everywhere because I use it in my classroom all the time. And it's sort of focused on environmentalism, but also that we are a global community, and if we don't do something soon, it's sort of funny that the sermon kind of touched on some of the things that he talks about in this, that like we need to start acting now. So I felt like I can take the environmental lessons from Holden and share them with teenagers who are so, if they don't hear it from home, they don't watch the news, they're teenagers. So I feel really blessed that I can bring some of that from Holden. The other book is Fast Food Nation. Also, if you haven't read that, you must. It is also thoroughly marked. I also use parts of this in my classroom, and it's about really the fast food industry, but sort of also about health. My students don't know anything about health. They don't know what MSG is. They don't think about the fact they eat McDonald's 4 times a week, and maybe they shouldn't be doing that. And so it's also very interesting to open their eyes to that view, which is also something I got from Holden. Maybe being vegetarian, eating healthy, being conscious of where you're getting your food, and how much food you're eating, and how much food you waste. And then the last book, I haven't got through all the way, but it's Global Women, and it's just about women all around the world and their experiences. It's different stories edited by two women. And just sort of bringing social justice up into the classroom, that I got to teach sociology last year, which was so much fun. And I got to bring in a lot of social justice issues, and I did a letter writing campaign about Darfur, and students said, I'm sort of like Sudan, I don't know. So I feel that I've been able to take some of the real world lessons and put it into my classroom and sort of get pulled into my students' lives in that way. Like, there's a whole world out there, and if you don't hear about it at home, you can hear about it in school. And I feel they also sort of, they all call me a hippie. I always have to say, now, hippie in your definition, because, you know, I'm not out smoking pot, which they all think hippies are. I think they sort of understand that I'm a hippie in a little bit of a different way, which I don't even know if I consider myself a hippie, but that I am a little more concerned about social justice issues, the environment. I'm really conscious of the fact that we are a whole community, and I really like the saying, think globally, act locally, that I like to think globally, but then I also tell them, you know, maybe you should find a different store than Walmart. Maybe you should find a store that's, go drink coffee at a coffee shop that's owned by, you know, an independent person rather than going to Starbucks. Like, think about how you could bring all of these ideas into your life and sort of start just to be aware, even if you don't change anything. Because I hate to tell them they're, you know, don't shop at Walmart, because sometimes they don't have a choice. And, they're not at the age really where they're doing their shopping anyway. They have to do what their parents do still a little bit. So, but they're getting to that age where they're going to start making decisions. So I really like that I can bring home in the classroom.
Yeah, you hit me for all of that. You hit me for all of that.
I'll spring forward off.
Thank you.
I'm Leslie, and I was a little older when I came to Holden, but I think I found adulthood when I came here also. I was raised in an upper middle class family. We had steak every Saturday night. It was always a meat and potatoes, you know, kind of deal. We wore pant hose and pant leather shoes. There was a prim and proper, you know, way of doing things. I thought they're a Republican family. very pro-military, you know, the whole, you know, this is how I grew up. And I graduated high school with those kind of beliefs and didn't know anything different. And went to Cal Lutheran in Thousand Oaks, and my eyes were opened to a whole other world. You know, and it wasn't so much a liberal college, but compared to what I grew up with, it was a whole new world. And I learned a lot academically while I was there about the world. Had a few hands-on experiences, but still had a lot to learn about life. And met my husband, had a wonderful wedding, very Cinderella-esque experience. And
learning things every day.
And handsome prince.
Yes. Yeah. And then we kind of decided together, you know, what kind of future we were going to have. And came to Holden, I don't know, a year or so after we were married. And I bring the very simple lentils. I'd never had a lentil before I came to Holden Village. And the whole time we were here, we joked about the lentil loaf and how disgusting it was. You know, it was, 1990, and there was no meat served here then. You know, occasionally on Sundays you would have some meat, but the meals, they really weren't that tasty. But they were healthy, they filled you up, and after probably the second week here, it really wasn't an issue anymore. You know, it wasn't, what are we going to eat, what are we going to eat? It was, we would do our job, we were starving, we would sit down, and you would just shovel it in while you're talking to people. You know, you weren't. I'm so eloquent with the way I speak. But it truly was eating to live rather than, you know, living to eat. You've heard me on that term. And I keep coming back to the simple lentil. Life out there can really be overwhelming. Living in a society where, you know, TV rules and fashion and peer pressure and consumerism, you know, the whole Walmart, Target is everywhere. And I have to keep coming back to the lentil and serving simple meals at least twice a week to remind myself that there is hope and I'm not going to be sucked up by this competition with, you know, the Joneses, as they say. And raising three children and teaching them, we don't have to be like your friends at school. You know, it started with my oldest wanting a Game Boy. Like, we fought it and fought it and fought it as long as we could. And once he understood why we were fighting it, I don't remember how it happened, but Grandpa bought him one. But he had foundation. You know, he was starting to hear what we were saying. So by the time he got one, he understood that, you know, 20 minutes, 10 minutes, it was okay, because then there was the hiking and the swimming and the other outdoor activities and reading and so forth. So I can go on and on about how life is difficult out there. But having this place to keep coming back to reminds me that I can take the lentils back home with me. I can create that wholesome, earthy environment that I learned about here. And I don't have to be a hit. You know, a lot of people call me the granola girl. But it doesn't have to be a freaky thing. It can be a positive, good experience. I mean, my son even likes lentils now. You know, he likes Cheetos. We all like Cheetos. But he likes my vegetarian food too. So, yeah.
I've got a springboard off of that because my kids call me the kid, and my teenagers, and I am, but I don't smoke pot. I didn't find this place to 2000, but I've lived this lifestyle most of my life. I was searching for this. I grew up in a very conservative Missouri Synod Lutheran home in Michigan. I left institutionalized religion for a long time. Had come back a little bit. But when I came to Holden, my mother had died a year before. I brought my mirror because I wanted to find out my own reflection. I wanted to know what I thought. I was told, you know, through a traditional church and all those things. And this Mira has been in my generation, my mother's great grandmother's Mira. And it was her great grandmother, it was my grandmother and my mother. And she had died about a year before I came here. I had never been in the Pacific Northwest. So living in Florida, still live in Florida. Lived in Florida since 1987. But when I came here, it was like, so I had to take notes of different things I wanted to say about that. But I was looking for what my relationship was with the church, what my relationship was with myself, what my relationship was with community. I had put my children in a fine arts charter school. I came here to Klein Holden Lake and took them out, was committed to homeschooling. They're now 13 and 16. I'm still committed to homeschooling. That's the kind of person I am. I'm an iconoclast. I came here and I felt concerned. I was the first place I felt, in some ways I was kind of conservative. And I struggled with those parts of me, the Missouri Senate Lutheran part, and the kind that's very, person that's very non-mainstream. So what I did when I came back is I left my Missouri Senate church, went to a mega church, like an evangelical church, and thought I got called to seminary. Went to an evangelical seminary, found out after a year and a half that I'm Lutheran. I am not. And that was a very important part for my growth. And then I found out that my call was not ordained seminary. It was exactly what I'm doing, raising my children, homeschooling my children, those values, reinforcing the values. And I thought I'd be the only one saying this. And it's just so wonderful to hear other people saying this, raising them outside of consumeristic stuff. Raising them outside of conformity, having them have individuality, and they fight it like crazy. I did not have TV or gang counsel until about a year and a half ago. But at least I did that, and I don't watch movies. I make different choices. I'm a writer, I'm an artist. When I came up here, it was so wonderful because I painted, I went to writing workshops. It was so confirming about who I am and who I struggle with, and that it was really okay that I wasn't into the consumerism and the conformity, and I got to be who I was. And also enjoyed so much being in a spiritual community. So now I'm back in the Missouri Senate Church. And when I find that I can take what I like, there's a lot of things I don't agree with. But I take the sense of place with me. So I'm going to go back and I'm not leaving the church. It was wonderful because it was wonderful last night. This is a wonderful place to come back to. But I want to be who I am, and that's what it is. But I've got a few other things I want to say. The humility, it's the commitment to community. There's a lot of isolation in the South, a lot of isolation. But this has reaffirmed how committed I am to community, to connectedness, to not being in an isolated, judgmental kind of way. And it starts with myself. And it is a sacred place for me. I also took back Sabbath, where I really try to have a Sabbath. And I try to have a Sabbath every day, where I get quiet and I connect with God. I also, when I came here, I was so turned off from as a child. I never read scripture. I now read scripture every day. You know, so there's been a lot of grace, and I really believe it was incubated here at Holden. And let's see, there is a certain, also my social justice issues that I had for much of my life. When I've come back and I can carry that on to my kids, it's about doing service, and I've been very connected with that. Homelessness, those type of issues that people that are around me are very, many people aren't on that path, but I am on that path, and I am actuating that. You know, bringing to food, taking my kids down the homeless shelter, I did that last year. I do, those things are very important to me, and by me actually living that, those are those values that I felt supported with Holden, and I live in Florida, so I can't get here very much, but I can keep it in my heart. And every time I get the Holden newspaper, it's like, yes, those are the values I'm trying to live. And my kids right now, particularly my 13-year-old, is everything opposite. The makeup, the everything, popular culture, the conformity, the whole thing, everything opposite. But you know what? I still, she's here, and, you know, my son actually went into the church yesterday, and that felt really good. And so it just feels good that I feel, regardless of what they choose, these values are for me. And this is who I am, and it feels really good about that.
I think the stretch break, water, coffee, and rolls are here. So thank you for sharing.
Should we,
10
minutes? How long?
Should we spend about 10 minutes?
Wow.
Wow.
And then he had a guy named Brown from the English department of UC. Taught a course entitled Literary Arts and the Moral Life. And we read, and then these two wonderful ancient professors sat in front of the room and spoke of what they knew and what they saw. And that was taught at the seminary.
Wow.
So I started to lean over there and had a couple of courses with Julian. And then I was in seminary and projected the daylight.
Were you raised in
Yeah. And that was never a big deal, but it was not by any means a sense of
sure. Wow.
It's a fun day. Yeah. This place was the critical point of intersection, because when I left in that spring of 81, I wasn't with that. Mm-hmm. I really wasn't with that. I wasn't taking away, I was leaving the whole institution. Yeah. And here at the Home Church without the institution, which I admire. Although not rejecting the institution, it's always sitting in the house.
She said that. She
was saying that.
Yeah.
And that waxes and wanes on people these days, for example. Yeah. There are times that some are dynamic and edgy place. But it always does come.
Yeah. I was thinking about the sermon last night. I heard it from two people. I've heard many sermons where I may agree with someone's politics, but they're not pastoral or not appropriate to how they bring it about. And there's just to be able to talk to what he did.
I was very pleased. I was a little disappointed initially. And I felt like it was hard for the people that had that whole list that I retired from. Fine, but he took his promise to
the point. He gained momentum.
And, you know, potentially, people would be like, that place would be voicing it to the church. There have been times in recent years when I felt like I was kind of quiet. And it was so and so I have, from time to time, reminded some of
that. I was talking to someone who's been coming out for 5 years, and I haven't been back here this summer yet, and she told me that it was the best summer that she experienced here in 4 years of coming here.
Rebecca, I thought that was right.
The summer.
And the analogy of having it in your hand when you're cold and transferring it with.
It's always curious for me.
Did
you
like that image?
I don't know if I can. It's a powerful one.
Yes. And that's the thing, too. I think you can always come
back. Macro, micro,
beat my head. I really lean on that sacred space to see.
That's why I have the energy within.
You can always set apart. Also, it comes from an energy comes also to engage with missing the folks who may be on the same track. And that in and of itself is
different. Women hold this authority as mission. It's not our lack of power that's scary. It's how much power we have. I'm always...
That piece, that's kind of my charge.
Being a powerful person, I don't think of... I don't know.
Oh, the rolls,
I like when you said about that. I had a couple.
mean, you try to stay out there and just
the whole lifestyle.
John and Mary Schramm.
Woo, sorry.
Whoa, bring it out.
Can you try one?
I will, but I most
things. There's another perfect table for the boxes.
Which is like, I think the transformation is one thing to say, or the social justice, but that adjusts their couple of lifestyles.
It was for the world. It was for the world. It becomes Sabbath living. It becomes, you know, being a church.
Yes, I think we're talking more.
Good.
That was so beautifully put. Thank you.
I love that image of the mirror.
Oh, do you?
You know, that is so good. And you know,
yeah, because I was thinking at first, I thought, oh, I should have brought like a rock or something like that.
Everything has to be sterile. never get sick because they don't get the immunity built up.
Right. Well, also, but the plastics. The plastics can become more toxic in nature.
Yes, that's true. We're not building up communities. I mean, dirt is not bad. I mean, soil is not.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm not telling them to eat it or anything. Right. I'm just saying.
Why are you worried about dirt?
Dirt is a lot cleaner than most of the dirty places.
You know, it's funny because, in fact, I was just
one on the top.
Bike riding with a couple of friends of mine.
Well, I'm always marvel whenever I've done anything like this exercise. My superfluous collection of objects, but the stories that it evokes are.
So about all three of them
are here?
Yes, John Bennett, and they love it. We did, I think, the summer that we
were here,
hold in my hands to hold it a root, chemist's first.
she was just nine. I tried some designs such as seven gill, trillaville, flowers for women, and deer for the men. My granddaughter's hands worked with bright colored fabrics, taken from dresses she wore long ago. Strong cotton thread and the finest of needles, weaving my memories of patterns she sewed. My great-grandma Eleanor passed on the knowledge to her daughter Susan when she was just nine. Lone Star log cabin, the sweet rose of Sharon, basket medallion, her favorite design. Sunnydale, Trillaville, flowers and deer, green lives of our ancestors here. Lone Star, the cabin, basket design, weaving and quilting our story. And I was working tape ministry. That's a strange name. I don't know, tape ministry. And that song just struck me. Linda's a Washington songwriter. She wrote a whole series of songs for Washington State Centennial. But that one just like, oh, because I was holding, I knew I was going to go to art school to learn to weave. But I was holding for a couple winters before that. And I think I asked her if I could sing harmony, if I could sing around with her. And that folk music comes here. It's dangerous, isn't it? That's really set the path for what I've done. It's one of the pieces with the rest of my life. And I went on to art school, and when it came to doing my weaving thesis show, that song became the focal point. Because for me, my life is about making things, creating community, creating art, creating food, creating dances and songs. And I realized I couldn't just do a visual show. So it was a combination of music I put together in a visual show of work and a group to sing the music. And that's been my path. My business is called The Singing Weaver. And I go around the country and I try to help people make the connection between visual and performing arts. Not that they have to do both, but I think that the performing arts, especially music, is a way to help people touch their creativity. And they're trying to figure out how to use this weaving technique to express themselves. That's really what they're trying to do when they weave, is express themselves. So this Holden, then, this song, boy, that was important, meeting this Linda. But that ties into all the rest of it, because when I think about all the things you have said, Holden as a pathway, nature giving strength, doorway, gifts, labyrinth. You know what Holden is for me? It's fertilizer. It's like compost. Because I came to Holden with most of the things, most of the roots, the shoots, the seedlings. But then it was Holden that helped me figure out how I was going to grow it and how I was going to share it and utilize it. So Holden is Miracle Grow. That's
right. Yes.
And you know, if you're a gardener, as I am, you know that you can do all the things you're supposed to this plant and it still dies.
which isn't so bad because then you throw out your compost bin and it becomes something else. But so I've been thinking about things at home that weren't so great. Like, and this is part of the journey because, so home fertilized me. But some of those moments weren't positive things. There was a group of Missouri Synod pastors here, imagine that, for our retreat. And, you know, staff signs up to do matins, and I signed up to do matins while these Missouri Synod pastors were here. And I guess I'd become known during my time on staff that I'm kind of outspoken, especially on things like kind of, you know, off to the side, like Hagen and stuff and things. So when the powers that be had seen that I'd signed up to do matins, they were worried what I was going to say to these Missouri Synod pastors and the village pastor, who I'm still friends with, and some other people came up to me and kind of said, "Now, Nadine, you know," and that made me mad. So I'm like, "Isn't this what Holden is about? To let you be who you are, and to speak not in a way that offends or hurts, more like the sermon last night." And I remember that. I don't remember what I actually said in the talk. I think I did remember have a pastor come up to me and say something in a little conversation. But that made me so mad that I was being censored here. And that's a good thing that I got mad, because I find I don't learn as much in all happy, wonderful. I usually learn more in the struggle and the green and the dark and the dirty and the stuff that's really yuck. So that's something I take forward, that I don't just look for the places that feel good in my life, because usually I don't learn too much there. So this community, so why do I keep coming back? Because I found I don't have to come back too often. I like to come back. But the way I've taken Holden out into the world from that experience, well, actually, the song obviously is part of my job, but as a single person and a person without children, both, I guess, like what I've chosen up to this point in my life, it's really important for me to create community wherever I am and whatever I do. I travel a ton, I'm on the road all the time. And so I've learned taken those tools about how community was created here in many different ways. And as I said, Holden is many different communities. And I apply that as I'm traveling and with the different groups of people I work with and the different ways I choose to be engaged in the world. So I kind of feel like Holden is a reminder, it's fertilizer. But I'm doing Holden everywhere in all the things I do. And there's one of the things somebody said that I'm thinking about now that's really important to my life right now. I was here when they evacuated the village. Was that 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. Okay, right now. It was right now. And my group strong the goal to come up to do a concert. And they announced the evacuation 1 hour before we were supposed to have our concert. And it was people, it's a very stressful time. And there's a lot of talk about, well, Holden might not be here. You know what that means? What should we save? And it was really the first major beach threat. And what I came away with is, it may not be a bad thing for Holden to go there, this physical place. Holden wasn't really meant to be this institution on the rock, I don't think. Look how it was born. It was his gift. And sometimes gifts are meant to be for just a certain time and then go away. And so I had some conversation actually with Warner Jensen, who used to be business manager here, and he's the husband of my client partner. We talked about this. And so that's what I've been thinking about Holden now. It is a wonderful place. When people come here, it's a magnet and they're fed and all these things. But I don't think it would be a bad thing if it did go away by natural causes or other things that happen. Because that's where I'm at right now in my life, learning that we're given these gifts but we're not necessarily supposed to hold them and use them our whole life. Maybe they're just here for a little bit. And then you have to let go, and then there's something else that becomes your gift that you are out there realizing. So that's what I'm thinking about holding right now. This place may not need to be here.
Okay.
Yes.
My name is Cassie, and I started coming to Holden with family and church groups in the summer since I was about 7, and found out about the opportunity to be a boarding student here, and so applied and got in and had a great year. This is when I was 16 and 17, in 97, 98. And just coming from pretty isolated, I mean, not isolated, I guess, but suburb life, north of Seattle, where you can't get anywhere except for the car, really. The QFC parking lot is like the hangout place. And pretty middle class white suburb, and didn't really know myself. Like, I knew that I was looking to get to know myself better, and Holden definitely helped a lot. And that's something I wanted to, I mean, I really resonated with what Joel was saying, and also with what Nadine was saying, about community. My object is a mirror as well. And I just, this image came up a number of times in the year, was just like it almost would be better if that mirror was broken, because I saw myself, or I got to know myself through all the different people that I met at Holden. It's like I reflected all these different personalities or ways of thinking or talking or laughing or senses of humor. And so I really, I think, learned for the first time how important community is in building compassion in that way. Because for the positive and the negative things, like, I would love something about someone else and I would sort of grow that part in myself. But also, it didn't, community helps you not to be so fundamental, like thinking, oh, that's just that over there, I'm so detached from, like, that hatred or that negative quality, but really, I have that inside me too. So, and it comes up. And so when I realize that, just sort of how a person can sort of embodies the whole world, or can, and you can access those different parts of yourself by living in different communities and the fluidity of community. So my talk is now moving to what Nadine was saying, with not being able to hold on to this one community, because that's what I wanted to leave. It was hard for me to leave Holden. I didn't want to change. I loved who I was here, and I was so afraid to go back to high school, where it'd be the same cliques, the same popular groups, and the same people I didn't really know very well. It was more on acquaintances, and they had a certain image of me. And I had changed so much, and I didn't want to change back to the way I was, because I didn't like that self. And so just being afraid to change, and I think I realized that, you know, it's good to change, and we're always changing. I won't go back to the way I was. I won't stay the same as how I became when I was here. So just being able to love the becoming of ourselves.
I brought a German Bible. When I was here, one thing we heard again and again was that Holden was about opening us to the world and opening the world to faith. And there were several influences that were really strong for me in the 70s when I was here for about 3.5 years. One is that faith is about being open to life, open to questions, open to ambiguity, and most of all, open to God and God's leading. And then another influence was that the Bible is a reliable guidebook to being fully alive. Community was an important influence, which, as Carol Hinderly reminded us again and again, means that life is about us, it's not about me. The more it's about us, the better it is. The more it's about me, the smaller and crankier life gets. And life is most of all about God, and that God isn't retired. God is still hard at work. Then another influence were what I call Hinderlyisms. Carol Hinderly was always spouting things that in a way sounded funny, but in a bigger way were profound. For example, he quoted Paul and said, "Penniless, you own the world." And then he'd always say, "So get out and see your property." And he was fond of saying that Holden people were collectively the most broke and the best traveled people in the whole world. He said, "God writes straight with crooked lines," meaning you don't have to have it all together to live an abundant life. He was always saying that life is supposed to be an adventure where we use our gifts and we use them in adventurous ways, not for our sakes, but for God's sake. And he was always leaning on people to go to the seminary, too. So, in addition to those things, some personal history came together when I left Holden, and my parents are both European immigrants, and I'd always had an interest in learning another language and living in another country, so trying new things like you learn to do at Holden. So I left here, built a house, sold it, used the money to learn German, and go to Germany and start studying theology. And the interest in theology came from Holden, too. I studied there for a year, then went to Luther Seminary for another year. Didn't know if I wanted to be a pastor, but I liked studying theology. And the chance came for me one Tuesday when another student didn't want to go on internship in Germany. And they called me and said, "You want to go to do your internship in Germany?" It was too early to do it. I said, "Sure," thinking they meant a year later. They said, "Good, you leave Saturday." I went to a 4,000-member congregation in Germany as an intern, and after 3 weeks, my supervisor, the only other pastor, left. So I was on my own for the next 10 months. It was a wonderful experience. Thanks to community, the people there helped me so much, and it was possible to do that work. Then they arranged for me to go on and do another internship in East Germany, and I was the first American to ever be an intern in East Germany, which is quite interesting when you're talking about things hostile to government, such as God, and there's secret police sitting in the back row all the time. It was a wonderful experience there to see community and see that in spite of the things that separated us, for example, I was taught that the communists were enemies. They were taught that we were the enemies. In spite of the huge differences, there was so much more that united us as believers, and we were in fact finally brothers and sisters. With that adventure idea, I saved up my money all during internship and went to Africa for 6 months. I flew to Cairo and traveled overland to Kenya. It took 6 months, and I had some of the worst times of my life there, traveling through drought areas, seeing people die, and holding kids who died from starvation. And I had some of the best times, even in those drought areas. For example, people would always ask, especially in Sudan, if I was Christian. And I said, when I said yes, they'd jump up into the air and give me a huge hug. As always, the men, women didn't speak to strangers. And then after they hugged me, they sent for food. And here were people who were dying from starvation sharing their food with me because I was their brother as a Christian. And I realized again how we have so much more in common as believers and so much more strength together than we have when life is about me. First time's a little disconcerting, by the way, because the Dinka tribe, or that happened a lot The men are 7 feet tall. He's giving me this big hug, and they also wear shirts that end here and nothing else. Came back from Africa and finished seminary. Met my wife in seminary. Had 3 churches, and we've been in one now in northern Wisconsin for 13 years. And I noticed again and again in ministry how those holding influences show up. For example, faith is about being open to life, and being open to God and open to people. The Bible really is a living word that feeds us. Wonderfully nutritious food. God is active and present and visible to people who have eyes of faith. Faith is very much about community. Life really does shrink and get reduced to nothing if it's about me, and it's so big when it's about us. And I notice how those ideas help me, I think, shape other people to live adventurous lives for God's sake. And we try to do that on purpose with members in everyday life and with kids. We do that, for example, one way that shows up is mission trips. We have this church in a small town in northern Wisconsin, and we send people all over the world, people of all ages. We're able to serve people. We've sent people to the Virgin Islands and all over Spooner, where we live, and New Orleans 2 weeks ago, and Tanzania several times, and Puerto Rico and North Carolina and Montana, and a lot in our own community all the time. And it's amazing to see how people change when they go as God's people on an adventure in God's name and receive so much more than they give when they serve other people as God's servants. I think we see a little of Holden in the rule in our church is if you have an idea for ministry here and if you have the capability of doing it, the answer is yes. Don't ever ask us for permission. Just tell us what you need. And it's been interesting to see some of that develop in individuals now. The first kids who went on mission trips some years ago are now graduating from college, and some of them are making career decisions based on things like this. They're going to seminary, or they're going to work for Lutheran Disaster Response or Lutheran World Federation. And, it's not so much that I do it, but that I think with those influences that got here that were from God, God can work through people with those strong things. And now I still feel like I did when I left Holden in the late 70s. I'm still trying to decide what I want to do when I grow up. I like that feeling because there are so many wonderful things to do, and there's so much to be excited about in the world, and there's so many adventures to have in God's name. And God gave us such a wonderful world and calls us by name to go out and live in it and live for His sake in it, for other people's sakes. And what else can life be except an adventure then? Sometimes adventures are hard, but in the end they're always worth it. And I'm every day, especially at work, I think about Holden rather regularly, and every time I do, I'm really grateful for it and hope that its influence continues. It's been interesting, too, to see those things passed on to our 2 daughters, sometimes my wife's chagrin. One graduated from college. She's taking off for Spain to be a teacher in a Spanish high school. And the other one is just starting college, and she's going to study international relations and Chinese. And she wants to live somewhere in the world, too. And it'll be interesting to see how these things, openness to doing what God wants for other people's sake and for God's sake, shows up in our own family and their lives. Carolyn's afraid they're going to meet some foreigner and get married and live far away. I know that's possible because that's what happened to my parents. So I have the German Bible. I got interested. Tom Alstrom started teaching German here. I left, became fluent in it. It opened up the world to me in many ways.
So side note, because of Will, that's why we came. He showed some beautiful slides.
Yes, Susanna told me yesterday that I wrecked 9th grade for her because I'm glad
dog and things, a convenient place to house bad ones will be long. Still can't be for that long alone. I mean, after her husband, but he's working. I'm an ordained pastor at that point. I was ordained 19 years and was just wondering what did I want to do